The human race, forget about them. Laid waste by the great catastrophe, the remnants of humanity fight for survival in a world scarred by a plague which causes the dead to walk again. Now the zombie hordes add to their infernal ranks with every fresh victim. Can a bold venture across the wastelands of the former United States of America hold the key to our salvation? Or does the future belong to the zombies?
Darker Projects presents Alive Inside, Season of the Dead, Episode 2.
Think about it. They don't need to breathe. The ocean floor will be teeming with the bastards.
Even if they were, they wouldn't last very long. Face facts here, James. The water pressure at that depth alone would tear at their bodies. It wouldn't take long before they just fell apart. I doubt they could last for more than a week. You know, two at best.
Katie does have a point. We'd be a hell of a lot safer out on an island than here on the mainland.
But the book said there'd be hundreds, maybe thousands of them.
Not that damn book again.
Book? What book?
The one written by that guy. You know, his dad made that movie. Young Werewolf or something?
Look, James. That was a fictional novel. I'm telling you, there is no way an army of the Walking Dead are lurking at the bottom of the ocean.
Fine. Don't believe it then. But what will we do for food and water, Ellen? Did you think about that? Even if we take supplies, we'd have to make runs back to the mainland just to keep everyone fed.
You know, I've been thinking about that. The College of the Atlantic set up a greenhouse out on Blake's Island about 10 years ago. There was a nice house out there, too. It's 5 miles off the coast.
That's not a bad idea. It could work. We could grow our own food and wait this whole thing out.
But we'd be landlocked. Something goes wrong? Something hits the fan? We've got nowhere to run to.
Like we're doing so well now. What do you think, Adam?
What?
I said, what do you think? About going out and living on Blake's Islands off the coast.
Oh, a good a place as any to die, I guess.
Thank you, Captain Positive.
There were 17 in all. All holed up inside a Stop and Save supermarket. Although part of the store had been raided in the early days of the undead crisis, a good deal of food stocks were still available. Bags of chips, candy bars, cans of food, even some bottles of soda. Enough to keep these people going for a while. Thing was, it was all finite. The food was going to start running out, and then what would they do? But that was the problem with everything now. Food, fuel, bullets, you name it, everything was running low. And when it was gone, it was gone. It wasn't like we could expect a delivery truck anytime soon. Not that I cared. I was numb, cold inside. It had been a week since I lost everything that gave my life meaning. My friends, my family, my wife, everything was gone. I don't know how long I drove. I lost all track of time. Eventually, I ran out of gas, and my old VW came to a sputtering stop out on the highway. After that, I walked, looking for more fuel. That's when I ran into these people. I had gone to a nearby service station looking to fill up my gas cans. And that's when a group of the dead saw me. I was running from and passing the supermarket when a door opened.
Get inside before they see you!
I would later learn her name was Ellen. She and most of the other people with her had all been students at the local university.
Can someone tell me why we let Captain Morbid join us?
Because he's a living person, James. We have to help one another if any of us are going to survive this.
Great. In the meantime, our food supply runs.
Hey, if you don't want me here, I'll go.
Don't listen to him, Adam. You should stay here. As Ellen said, we need one another if we're going to make it out of this alive.
You are looking to the wrong place if you are looking for salvation, Katie. It's all right here. What you need if you want to make it through all of this.
Not again.
The Bible speaks only the truth, Ellen. All of this was foreseen ages ago by the prophets and written down.
Funny, I don't remember a forthcoming zombie crisis being taught in Sunday school. Must have been sick that weekend.
Mock me not, Adam. I have given my life to the service of the Lord. I have been saved by the blood of the Lamb, and He will deliver me to salvation and safety from the undead.
Oh, gee, what a nice picture.
Bathed in lamb's blood, huh? No doubt that'll keep the zombies away.
He can save you. Save all of you. If you turn from your sinful ways and give your lives over to His love, you will reap the reward to come.
Call me weird, but I think it's going to take a lot more than blind faith to save us from what's going on outside.
Fool! Fools, all of you! You have been forewarned. The hour of judgment is at hand. Those of you who are found wanting shall suffer the wrath of the Lord.
Yeah, he's a lot of fun.
Maybe we should leave him behind when he heads out for this Blake's Island.
No, everyone comes. We'll need every hand we have to help maintain the greenhouse. If I remember right, it's pretty big.
There is one problem that we haven't discussed.
Yeah? And what's that?
Does anyone know anything about driving a boat? Or, you know, maybe how to navigate on the ocean?
I do.
Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate lunch. Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate lunch. Dinner. Lunch. Chocolate, chocolate, chocolate lunch.
Who's there? What do you want with me? Go away and leave me alone. I didn't walk all this way just to give it up for no dead man who can't say anything, nothing to say nothing to me. I didn't do that at all. Go away, leave me alone. Hey, you go away.
You need to shut up.
I'm going nuts. Crazy. They're talking to me again.
Get quiet if you don't want them to come down on us. Damn it, would you knock it off?
Lord Jesus in heaven, God Almighty, save me from this plague that makes them walk and groan. Save me from the eternal damnation of the Satan demons that eat upon your servants. Help me, Lord.
Shit, move it, man. Just go.
You're alive?
Not for long if you don't get moving. Now go.
Hey, you two, over here. Get in here, hurry. Shh, keep quiet. They'll go by if you're quiet. You're the one on the motorcycle? I heard you ride in and headed this way to see if I could find you. Good thing I did. That bike's pretty big. I mean, you've got some room on it if you need to.
Yes.
It can take two?
That depends on what two you were talking about.
I see what you're saying. Shh, here they come.
I've been making my way north to Canada for the last week or so. A motorcycle. I'd gotten off my neighbor. He wasn't going to be using it again, and now I was somewhere near the Canadian border in New York State. I'd been going there on the off chance that the Great White North had suffered less than the United States when the zombies had arrived. So far, I had been wrong. They were everywhere. Many, many of them. Even here, they took some time to get moving away from us. I had to wonder just how many people were left alive. I'd seen a few in my travels, but not many. We took the time to introduce ourselves, or at least as much as we could, considering that the other man, Bill, was just about as crazy as a guy could get and still function enough to avoid the walking dead and scrounge enough to eat. The woman's name was Sarah. She said she'd been living in the ruins of the town for about 3 days and had seen no other people until our arrival. Her car had broken down.
This one's for dinner. This one's for lunch. I got a snack, you see. A snack for me.
Would you please shut up? They are not lunch or dinner. They are peanuts, just peanuts. Not enough to keep us alive past yesterday. Damn it, Bill, now you've done it.
I didn't do nothing.
Yeah, I know. You've been sitting there for the last 2 days doing nothing. Now shut up and maybe they'll move on.
We ought to just get out there and kick their asses from here to...
Yeah, we ought to, but we won't. Now shut up.
Bill, just stop, please.
Oh, I see. Gang up on the city boy. Make him just sit there and do nothing but count his toes and shut up. Yeah, when we get out of here, we'll see you just who rules this roost. Yeah, we'll see who the big man is around here.
You're crazy.
And you is a worthless little...
Bill.
Big man with the gun. Yeah, we'll just see about that. Why don't you get up on that motorcycle of yours and just ride the hell out of here? Just get on it and go. We don't need you around here. You've done nothing but stink the place up.
I let him ramble. There was nothing else to do short of shooting him. He'd gotten crazier over the last couple of hours. We were trapped in a strip mall, the chocolate shop to be exact, and the food was next to none. Bill had been separating the chocolate from the peanuts and pretzels since. The worst part of the whole thing was I could just see my motorcycle resting between the buildings a couple of blocks away. I had parked it so that I could investigate the stores on foot. I needed food. It had been a day since my last full meal, and that had been the only meal that day.
We need to have a plan to get out of here. Those peanuts are not going to do much, but keep us from realizing how hungry we really are. By that time, we'll be too weak to do anything. I don't want to starve to death.
Neither do I, but my bike only holds me and one other person. Who gets to go with me?
I think that question is easily answered.
Rather cold, don't you think?
Cold? What can a crazy man do for you? I can shoot. Give me a gun and I'll prove it. I can ride. I used to ride dirt bikes. I can do other things that he can't do for you, unless you don't swing my way.
I swing your way, just not at the moment.
Wife?
Dead.
Lunch.
We should move now.
Dinner.
Wait, there's more coming, see?
Dinner?
Damn it, why
lunch.
Can't that nut shut up?
I ain't a nut. I ain't crazy. You need to shut up and get your worthless...
Without power, the nights got pretty dark. While most people slept, I often walked about the aisles of the store. I had trouble sleeping most nights now. All I could see when I closed my eyes was my Kelly coming back as one of them, one of the dead. I found if I got drunk enough, I would pass out. But all the liquor in the store had long since been taken. So I was looking for some sleeping pills to help get me through the night. I was passing through what was left of the snacks. A few bags of chips were still on the stands. All the good ones had been eaten long ago. What was left behind were the ones with strange flavors, like pickled egg with infused duck sauce. I think even the zombies would avoid eating things like those.
Not sleeping tonight, Brother Adam?
Ray, you startled me. What are you doing up?
Reading the good news of the Lord. Preparing myself.
Preparing yourself? What for?
Why, the hour of judgment, of course. Although it is written that none shall know the hour or the day, the return of our Lord must be soon, and I, for one, wish to be ready for that glorious moment.
Okay. I guess in a way it's good that the Bible brings you comfort with everything that's going on.
It brings me more than comfort, Brother Adam. It brings me great wisdom as well. I know now the difference between the lambs of the Lord and the wolves who prey upon them.
Wolves? You mean the zombies, right?
No, brother, not the zombies. The zombies are nothing more than tools of our Lord. He has set them forth to cleanse the world of the evil ones before his glorious return. No, brother, I speak of those who are still here, some of whom are in this very building with us now, those who still follow the ways of the flesh and the fallen world.
I see.
It is still not too late, Brother Adam. I know you have lost much, all of whom you cared for. However, the Lord spared you for a reason. You have a chance that the fools here have not taken.
To join you and follow the will of God?
Yes, I am his holy messenger. I shall take his word to others. Teach them what they must know to survive in this time, to await the hour of his coming.
Well, that's nice. Mind if I sleep on that?
Do not take too long, brother. Time is very short. You do not want to be found with the wolves when it runs out.
I'll keep that in mind. You have a good night now. I left Brother Ray and the chip aisle and made my way around the shop until I found some sleeping pills. I then went back to where I had been making camp since my arrival. Even with the pills, I only slept a few short hours when I was suddenly woken by screams. What's happening?
It's the dead. They found a way in. They're coming in.
As the darkness falls, I could only keep thinking that a month ago, I was living in Ohio with my wife, and all this was so very far away. A week ago, I was just starting the run for my life. Now, it was like something out of the movies. Something totally beyond anything I'd experienced before. I'd spent a total of 3 years in various parts of the world that were considered to be volatile by our government. The U.S. Marine Corps had given me skills to survive those places. But nothing had really prepared me for facing the walking dead.
Hey, what's your name?
Lyle.
I'm Sarah. Listen, Lyle, I've been looking around and I think that we can get to your motorcycle if we get up on the roof and jump to the next one over. Those things don't seem to be able to climb, so we'd be safe.
What about him?
Eat the last one, Bill. You know it's good. God wants you to. Gotta keep up the strength. Gotta keep the mind free and clear.
Look at him. He's crazy. He's going to die soon anyway.
How do you know? He seems pretty healthy. Don't you think we should try to save as many living people as we can, no matter how nuts they are? There can't be many of us left out there.
How are we going to ride out of here? We can't all fit on your bike. Someone has to be left behind.
Or we could wait it out for the night and see if we can find a car that will take everyone.
Take everyone where? Do you have a place in mind? Besides, that motorcycle can get around wrecks and stuff that a car couldn't.
Yes, it can, but I'm not leaving anyone alive behind. Not again.
You need to eat to keep up your strength.
Thanks. I could use something right about now.
Hey, I've been praying and talking, and I think we need to get on that roof. The closer we get to God, the safer we'll be.
Closer to God?
You can blaspheme all you want, but the fires of hell are gonna burn you and take your world to the depths of the lowest levels reserved for those who don't believe in the power of God.
Oh, Christ. How can we be expected to take this guy seriously when he starts spouting off all this shit?
Call it what you want. It's a good idea, no matter where it came from. How do we get up there?
God told me how to get up there. He showed me the way.
Did he tell you what to do once we're on the roof?
It will be revealed.
In reflection, I shouldn't have been surprised. After all, it had all but been broadcast that this was going to happen, that the dead were going to get in. Not by their own decaying hands, but by one of us, one of the living. At the time, however, I was too busy with saving my skin to really think about it.
They're coming in from the loading dock? But how? That door is made out of solid steel. There's no way they could have busted through it.
Worry about how later. Right now, we have to get out of here.
How? The front doors have been welded shut.
There's a window in the main office. We can go out there.
Through the zombies?
If you've got a better idea, I'm game to listen to it.
We can't just abandon the store. We need this stuff.
Then grab what you can and come on. We have to go now.
But go where?
Blake's Island. Where else? All we need to do is find a boat and I can get everyone there. Now, come on. We grabbed what supplies we could and started to make our way toward the office staircase. In all honesty, I didn't think we would make it out alive. There were far too many of them. The dead kept pouring into the store by the dozens, attacking and feeding on anyone they caught. Screaming. God, how many of the people here were dying now? All of them, except for the few with me? I couldn't be sure. And that's when the dead found us.
Get your hands off me! No! Let me go!
James!
Help me! Somebody help me!
We have to help him!
It's too late. He's dead.
You don't know that! James! James, I'm coming!
I'm coming too!
Damn it, you'll all be killed.
No! 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 No!
I dropped the cans of food I had and ran. It wasn't long before I made it to the staircase. I ran up and slammed the office door closed behind me. A few moments later, the dead started pounding on the locked door, trying to get in. I crossed the office to the window and pushed it open. The alley behind the market looked deserted for the most part. I was about to jump out when I noticed something. It was laying on a leather chair. A pistol. Could it have been here all this time and no one found it? I picked it up and found it was fully loaded. The zombies were starting to break down the door, so I stuffed the pistol into my pants and went back to the window. As the first of the zombies made their way into the office, I dropped down to the alley below. They make that look so easy in the movies. The early morning air was cool against my sweat-covered skin. I didn't know how much time I had. I saw several zombies in the distance starting to make their way towards the alley. They must have heard me fall. But apart from myself, no one seemed to have made it out of this store. Or so I thought.
So, Brother Adam, I see God has seen fit to spare you.
As I said before, I shouldn't have been surprised. I should have seen this coming. There had been no forced entry into the market. Someone had opened the loading dock doors. Brother Ray, you did this, didn't you?
I did nothing, Adam. This is the Lord's work. All I did was open the door and walk out. The Lord's holy instruments did the rest.
Holy instruments? Do you even know what they did? Everyone's dead now.
Everyone but you and I. It is the Lord's will, Adam. Can't you see that? He wanted you and I to live. The others were unworthy. Their souls were always condemned to the eternal fires. I have been planning this for some time. See this car here? Looks like an old junker, but it still runs. It has a full tank of gas with food and water. You can come with me, Adam. Help me bring God's word to others.
You truly think you're some kind of prophet, don't you? Tell me, Ray. Did they leave you alone? The zombies, that is. Did they just let you walk out without so much as a second look? Seeing as you are God's messenger and all.
Well, no. At first they tried to get at me, but once they saw the gate was opened, they forgot about me for the most part.
The most part?
One or two still tried to get at me, but I dispatched them easily enough with this tire iron. They're coming. We must be off.
You're right. We must be.
My legs! You shot me!
Yeah, in both of your knees.
Why?
I thought that would be obvious. So you won't be able to walk.
I can't get up! Help me, Brother Adam!
No. You see, Brother Ray, your faith caused a lot of good people's deaths today. And I'll be damned if I let you get away with it.
I was only doing God's will!
No, you weren't. This was your will. I've always seen God as a teacher. Someone who cares for all of us, regardless of how we believe in him. He's kind. He is generous. He is forgiving. All of the things you are not. Well, I guess I'll be on my way. You have a nice day now, Brother Ray.
No! You can't do this! Help me, Adam! It's the will of God! You have to help me! Don't do this, Adam! God will damn your soul if you leave me! Adam, you have to help me! You have to! Adam! Adam! For the love of God, help me! Help me!
It was less of a struggle than I thought it would be to get up to the roof. Bill had found an access hatch in the back storeroom with a ladder. Once on the roof, we had a view of the entire town. Most of it seemed to be in pretty good shape. In the twilight, I could see the occasional flicker of a fire that still burned, and the smoke hung over the town in the windless air. We could see the movement of the undead as they staggered across the landscape, searching, if that was a term that could be used for their mindlessness, for the next victim to fall under their grasping claws. As I looked, I heard Bill and Sarah arguing about the next step in the plan. Not that there seemed to be a plan, really. It was more of a blindly choose the door that might work out the best.
You don't understand. The way to get out of here is to jump. If you don't jump, you have to wait and go back down. They don't look up. They don't see us up here. Up is the best, and they can't get up here. If we stay up, then we're safe. God showed me that.
I don't care if God showed you that. I don't care if Jesus himself came down here and held my hand. I'm not just jumping across 8 feet of nothing because you think it's the best way to go.
It's not me. God.
There is no God. You're crazy, and I'm not listening to you.
There is a God, and he showed me. Sometimes the path to safety takes a leap of faith.
Oh, how hallmark of you. I'm not jumping.
What is going on here?
That nut wants us to jump from roof to roof to get away from those things. He said God told him to.
Let's look around at our options before we just leap off the roof. How's that sound?
You don't believe me either.
I think that we need to check out everything. Sometimes even Satan quotes scripture. We checked out the entire roof twice. There was no other way off the roof than to jump over the heads of the shambling beasts below. Unlike the movies, there was no convenient board that could be laying across the span for us to balance on. There was only dead air between us and the next roof. I gauged the distance and the roof on the other side. The advantage we'll have is that the roof is a little lower than this one.
That's so comforting. So we just run and jump? Who goes first?
I will.
Good. If you die, then we can come up with a plan that doesn't involve trying to be birds.
Bill took the first leap. He got a nice running start. He hit the edge of the roof and with a grunt was airborne. Only the noise of his plastic bags catching the air as he traveled came to us, and he seemed suspended over the distance between the buildings. He landed with a grunt and rolled, laying still for a long moment. Sarah and I rushed to the edge while he lay unmoving.
Damn it! He's dead! He broke his neck and now he's just dead!
I thought you were waiting for him to die.
No one needs to die needlessly. It was a stupid idea. Now we have to figure out a way to...
He's moving.
I'm okay. I twisted my ankle. God looked over me. I could feel him.
Okay, keep it down. They'll hear you.
Come across.
If that nitwit can do this, I can. I'm next.
Sarah gave it her own running start. She was not laden down with anything and looked to know what she was doing. I watched her as her smooth and graceful gait took her right up to the edge of the roof, and she hit the parapet with a full, strong stride. Then, something went wrong. Her foot seemed to twist as she pushed off, and her balance was thrown off just as she leapt across the distance. I ran forward in time to see her hit the edge of the far roof with her shoulder, her hands grabbed at the edge of the roof, fingernails breaking as she tried to find purchase on the concrete side of the wall. Bill seemed to be transfixed, while Sarah began to scream as she slid down the wall into the alley below. Bill, grab her hand! Bill just watched as she fell. He could have grabbed her hand. He should have been able to reach her. That's the way it seemed to me as I watched her fall and hit the asphalt below us, falling into the littered alley among the refuse and the staggering undead. The undead began to move toward her. Sarah, get up. Get moving. They see you.
My arm. My leg. I think I broke some. I can't move. Sweet Jesus, help me. I can't move. Oh, God, please. No. Get them away. No, stop them. No.
I watched as they reached for her while she tried to crawl away. She screamed as the first one yanked her broken body toward its mouth. I did the only thing I could do.
Is she dead?
I'm jumping across now. You better do more for me than her. Gave a few quick steps, and after a moment of feeling like I was hanging from the sky, I found my feet hitting the gravel on the other side. My feet kicked out from under me, and I was laying on the tar and chipped roof, staring at the breaking night sky. The stars were so bright. They had been so bright since the world had died. The millions of light clusters that represented other suns, galaxies, they were all opening up for the world. What was left of us to see? I stayed that way for a long moment, remembering all the places I had wanted to see, all the wonders of the world that were now cut off from me by a simple speck of matter so small that I could not see it with my naked eye. Everything had changed so much.
Hey, you okay?
I'm okay. Everything seems all right. Let's get going.
I'm sorry she's dead. It was part of God's plan. There was nothing we could do to save her.
God's plan? Don't even start that crap with me, Bill. God had nothing to do with it, then or now. She missed the timing on her jump, that's all. God doesn't just make things happen according to a divine plan. If there is a plan, just what the hell is the point of all those things out there? Right, let's get going.
I am sorry, though. Another life gone?
Yeah, me too. Let's get going.
I'm sorry, but you'll be going on alone.
What? What are you talking about?
I broke something on my leg. I can't stand on it. My place is here now. God decided.
God is not some being who just randomly picks who lives and stays behind. He doesn't just suddenly say, I think Bill will have to break his leg so that Lyle can live. He doesn't get that right. He's no longer in charge around here, Bill. Now get off your ass and move. We've got to keep going.
He does get that right, Lyle. It's all in his power. I will pray for you. God knows what he's doing.
If God knows what he's doing, then what is the purpose of this? All of this?
That's not our place to know.
She was right. You're crazy.
So be it. On the hill far away stands an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and sin.
I left him there with his stupid hand and his worthless prayers. I left him sitting on the roof with all his chocolate and peanuts and his songs, and I hoped that he would die a long death. I wanted him to realize just how stupid he was. I didn't know if there was not a God, but I did know that if there was, God was as inaccessible to humanity as the stars were while I lay on my back on that roof and stared at him. God was as far away as all the places and wonders of the world. God was as separate from me as I was from the monsters that tore apart Sarah, that my wife had become, that humanity was becoming. God had left the earth. He left behind nothing worth mentioning. I wonder just how hard he was laughing now.
You have been listening to Alive Inside, Season of the Dead, Episode 2, written by Eric Busby and Donald Kopp. Based upon Alive Inside, a novel by Eric Busby and Donald Kopp. Featured in the cast were Ellie Hirschman as Adam, John Specht as Lyle, Megan Presley as Katie, Jeff Robbins as Ray, April Sadowski as Ellen, Michael Liebman as James, MJ Cockburn as Sarah, and Mark Brzee as Bill. This episode was produced and directed by Eric Busby. Audio engineering by Eric Busby. This has been a Ducker Projects production.